This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on that power bill, using technology wisely, and living a more sustainable life. Hey, I'm here in Southern California. We are having a Come See the Future conference about EVs and EV chargers. And my guest, and I've got quite a few guests on this trip, but my guest in this first segment, John Asbell with Georgia Power, and Brian Johnson, the city manager for Peachtree Corners. Brian, welcome, and tell our audience where Peachtree Corners is in relation to downtown Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta is a suburb of Peachtree Corners, so that's where... Now, we're in northeastern metro Atlanta, just north of the 285 bypass.
And, John, you work with a lot of the cities on the north side of town. Tell us the cities that you're currently working with Georgia Power, and what your duty is.
I've got 9 cities in my area, and that includes Johns Creek, Alpharetta, Roswell, Milton, Sandy Springs, Dunwoody, Doraville, Chambly, and I think that's it.
Brian, Peachtree Corners has the Curiosity Lab there, and maybe folks haven't been over there. It's an unusual city. Y'all don't have property taxes for residents, do you?
We do not. Second largest municipality in Georgia with no city property tax. And one of the reasons that we're able to do it is just because we continue to feed our local economy, generating the occupational tax with the business license revenue and the sales tax revenue through ensuring that we have vibrant interactions, vibrant businesses, and that we as a government do what we, you know, take the steps to get out of private sector way and, make it easy for them to come and be a successful business here.
John, one of the things you told me and why you wanted to come on this trip is that you're helping these cities prepare for EVs or develop a path to EV readiness, I think is how you described it. As you think about the cities in your territory, have you seen a marked change in their interest in EVs and in charging, and how are they taking steps to prepare?
I'll tell you, the interest, when I first met with these cities, came in my role in January of last year. And I met with each of the administrations and the mayors and asked about their priorities. Every single one to a T said electric transportation is a top priority, top three of their issues. So the interest has been strong all along from the leadership. The plan to get there is another matter. How do we strategically plan for that? So they all have a desire. It's pulling together the right coalition, the right experts, listening to the citizens and their needs. Managing and allocating resources to make it happen. But pulling the plan together is where we're putting a lot of focus.
Brian, I mean, Peachtree Corners already has an autonomous vehicle that can run around. You've got the Curiosity Lab where you're attracting companies who are interested in sustainable technology. You've got maybe the largest bank of EV chargers in the state. I mean, why would a person like you want to come here, because you're already kind of leading the pack?
Well, one is the only way we even got to this position is doing these kind of things. People around, the country, around the world are doing some pretty innovative stuff. So we're always looking to stay ahead of the curve. Second is those who are doing some of the similar things we're doing. You got to maintain it. You got to scale it. You got to make it, some of this more appealing to the customer base, in our case, the residents. So we're on a constant learning curve all the time to get better, to learn from others. And in some cases, maybe, give some lessons learned to those who are looking to do what we already have.
John, as you think about the cities in your territory that you're working with, what are you going to go back and report to them? How are you going to take what you've learned here on this trip and and present it to these cities on the north side of Atlanta?
First, it's affirmation. It's affirmation for the direction and the commitment they've already made to work together as a collaborative and to seek to build this plan together. So a lot of affirmation. It can be done. We've seen it firsthand on this trip. We've also seen it at scale, a scale that we haven't achieved in our area yet. So the scalability is possible. Now, some of the drivers are different and unique to this area versus ours from a regulatory and from a policy standpoint. But the ability to get there has been shown here. So affirmation, the network, the resources, both within the EV Brain Trust group that's come out here and the partnership that comes out of this group, as well as the partnerships that we have here on the East Coast. One of the things I'm real proud of we've done as a collaborative, when we started meeting in 22, the group agreed on four key things. One is that we would be collaborative. The cities would meet together and share information together as they go through this process. Then they asked for three things. They asked for data, how many chargers, when, and where, seeking that information. Secondly is funding. We need to understand the latest in funding availability and how to tap into that funding. The third is best practices. Let's get insights into the best practices that are out there. So we've brought in the City of Portland, the City of Seattle, the LA Coalition, to start showing us their path to EV readiness. And so this gives me the firsthand, hands-on touch of some of the practices we've been learning about.
Brian, we visited with the City of Pasadena. We heard with the LA, Los Angeles County representative of what they're doing in the counties. We just left the kind of the port area here of Long Beach and talking with the drayage company. I mean, it seems like cities can be pretty nimble in what they're not really dependent upon their county. They're not dependent upon the state. They can be kind of as aggressive as they want. What's one of the specific takeaways maybe that you've seen here that you're going to go back and share with mayor and council in Peachtree Corners?
Well, again, effective use of our unique position, and that is public right-of-way, which is oftentimes where it's the playing field of the future for a lot of this technology, you know, laying whether it's power, fiber, all sorts of, you know, devices, smart city, smart transportation, continue to use our unique position as being the owner, operator, maintainer, and regulator of public right-of-way and leverage that and make that become a very appealing place for the private sector to come and innovate. And that's where the public is using it. It's where the public comes together. That's where you can get lessons learned, know how to enhance, scale your product, and ultimately get the, you know, your customers to want your product. But that using that right of way or, you know, other public space, whether it's parking decks or other types of amenities like we've seen here in California, and use it effectively and do so in a way that is the balance of not taking too many, you know, shekels out of our citizens' pockets and us doing something with it, but yet not being completely hands-off where we're not making any investment. And that balance, which, you know, Georgia seems to have gotten from a state, is what we aspire as a city.
John, you were previously in Columbus, and you talked about collaboration. You would drive past the Kia plant. We've just left the Kia North American headquarters. You've seen collaboration to build out the Ray Highway there with a foundation, with Kia. MyMotion put that solar on that DOT right-of-way there at Exit 14. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for collaboration.
Commissioner Eccles, I couldn't agree more. One of the things that stands out to me about the electric transportation, us evolving as a state and municipalities, this is a lot like economic development. It's a team sport. You do really good economic development. It works well when you're working together. Kia is one of our state's leaders, not only in economic development, but now also in this space of electric transportation with EV9, what Hyundai is doing down the port and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many examples. Even on this trip, talking about Kitty and the Adopt-a-Charger program, you know, already in the conversation we had here with her potentially coming into the state and helping us with that downed chargers and finding solutions operations, make sure they're more reliable. So the partners are a lot of different places, but that connective tissue, that's usually the challenge, is getting the right people in the right room. They're all willing, and then allow the teamwork to take place. So, yeah, great examples here. Kia, what they do as a citizen in the community, investing, and all the different stakeholders we have in our state.
Just a couple of more minutes with John and Brian. You know, Brian, as you head back to Peachtree Corners and you think about all the collaboration going on just at the Curiosity Lab, right, UPS, T-Mobile, all the other partners that you have, and I know y'all have such an opportunity for more with Tech Park sitting there. And Siemens and other companies, do you see an interest in moving electric transportation forward?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a citizenry that wants it. We have companies that want to use our right-of-way to test, scale their products. Siemens, worldwide headquarters for electric vehicle charging and electrification, is in Peachtree Corners. And even our partnerships with others in the state, like the Ray, that are doing some of this stuff. Again, like John said, collaboration is key. And we've got to maintain that and continue to know what our strengths are. And that's, you know, right away, and use the private sector and their strengths to move this forward.
How can folks find out more about Peachtree Corners and the Curiosity Lab?
Our website, just like anything else, peachtreecornersga.gov, or Curiosity Lab is curiositylabptc.com. Both of those have all the information they need.
And, John, how can folks find out more about Georgia Power Electric Transportation?
GeorgiaPower.com. Find out all that we're doing in the area of sustainability, particularly electric transportation, through GeorgiaPower.com.
Well, thanks, guys, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next segment, Stephanie from Cox Automotive will join us, and we're going to learn a lot about what they're doing with AutoTrader.com and Kelley Blue Book, Manheim Auctions, and the great work that Cox Enterprises is doing. Stick around. Another segment of Energy Matters coming to you from California. Hey, Tim Eccles here for GEM Car Wraps, GEM Car Wraps, this fantastic group out of Brunswick that do wraps on vehicles, jet skis, golf carts. They've got it on my vehicles, so check it out, GEM Car Wraps on Facebook.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit. And the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. Better Tomorrow Solar can install your solar panels at no upfront cost. Build equity in your own home rather than paying the utility company. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com, and see how you can make your world better.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show. Tim Eccles back in Southern California. You got to love this place, with Stephanie Valdez Streety of Cox Automotive. Stephanie is one of 39 people on our trip. We're just at Manhattan Beach. I mean, how beautiful is this place?
It's amazing here, Tim. This is so beautiful, seeing the ocean. But the one thing that I'm really enjoying is seeing what California is doing to prepare for electrification. The infrastructure, the collaboration, stakeholders coming together to really excel this is so impressive. And I'm looking forward to what we can take back to Georgia to really accelerate adoption in Georgia.
You heard the 2045 plan that Commissioner Picker mentioned yesterday. It seems like everybody's rallying around a single plan.
Yes, that's. I think that's really critical. And I think I love the idea of having these aspirational, ambitious goals, because it's kind of like a stretch target. We need to go really aggressive, so hopefully we'll get close to that. But I think having that plan that everyone can align to and make sure that they're going in the same direction is going to be critical to really have success in this electrification.
Stephanie and I are riding on our electric shuttle bus, so if you hear, you won't hear an engine, but you maybe hear a little humming from our electric motor. Stephanie, you work for Cox Automotive. It's owned by Cox Enterprises. Folks may know the Manheim Auction brand, or of course the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Your company really knows cars, and it really knows customers, doesn't it?
Yes, we do. We have our customers are OEMs, car manufacturers, dealerships, and we also touch consumers through our brands of Auto Trader and Kelley Blue Book. So for us, it's really to provide that thought leadership and provide our clients what's going on in the automotive industry, whether it's consumer sentiments within EV, what's going on with price, with inventory, what are the trends, how do we mitigate those barriers for EV adoption. So we really look at it holistically and try to really help our customers, whether they're OEMs, dealers, or consumers, really navigate through this electrification era.
You've seen a lot of EVs come through your property at 2244 Metropolitan Parkway, where our EV Brain Trust meets. And I thought I'd seen a lot of Teslas there, but wow, out here, they have over a million electric cars, and there are Teslas everywhere.
Yeah, it's amazing seeing all, it's a different world here, right? California has like 25% of new vehicle sales that will be EVs. And for the first year in the U.S., though, we're going to surpass 1 million battery electric vehicles for the first time. And so we might see a little bit of slowing of that growth. We had 50% growth year over year, but we're still going to continue to see that growth. But I think it's going to be key, is what we're seeing here, is to have that infrastructure that is reliable, accessible, interoperable. So I'm excited about standardization. We have a lot of OEMs starting to adopt the North American charging standard, which I think is going to be important, so that consumers can have this seamless experience, similar to when they drive an ICE. So I think we're going in the right direction. But here it's amazing to see all the Teslas and the infrastructure, and it's exciting.
I rented a Tesla when I flew into Ontario Airport, drove to Palm Springs to pick up Commissioner McKissick, one of my colleagues from North Carolina, drove him back. And I was just looking at all of the Tesla chargers along I-10, and it was 28 here, 16 there, 30 there. It just seems like that it's the easy button out here, that there's so many places to get a charge, and that they've really got all the levers of government, of county, of policy, of moving towards electrification.
Yeah, I think that's key. When I think about, like, even the OEMs, you know, when I mentioned they're adopting the NACS standard, I think OEMs are starting to figure out for consumers that was some of the barriers. I want to have a reliable infrastructure, and Tesla has done it, right? They've been doing it. They have that network. Tesla owners feel confident about whatever charging they go to. They have the map. They know where they are. And so I think you're right. Tesla's done it right, and I think they're a good model, and I think that's why we're seeing a lot of the adoption to their standard.
Today, we're going to be going not only to the Kia Design Center later in the Tritium facility where they repair their chargers, which are non-Tesla chargers, but we're also going to Forum Mobility that works with drayage trucks. I know Cox Automotive is very involved with fleets because these fleet vehicles, they're running a long time. It's maybe my car runs for an hour or two a day, but these vehicles are running maybe 10, 12 hours. Do you see fleets as really the most important frontier in this area?
No, definitely. I think if you think about just with COVID, right, we have a lot of goods, the movement of goods has increased significantly, right? And so I think fleets is going to be critical. The number of miles driven are by fleets, right? And so I think the more we can electrify that. But I think to your point, it's really going to be that the cost of the vehicles, what's the charging, or even if you have your drivers, what is that process for them to charge if they take their vehicle home? So I think a lot of that needs to be worked out, and how do they reimburse their employees if they're taking the, you know, installing charging at home. So I think those are some of the things that need to be thought out, but I think fleet electrification is going to be so critical to reach our carbon goals.
The last couple of times we've been down to the 2244 facility, we've seen some of the Amazon Rivian vans being inflated or whatever the process is. And are a lot of these being used in Georgia, or are they moving out to the southeast from your facility? What is the kind of the plan for these Rivian vans?
I think the plan is to, like, move out throughout the South, right? So I think it's really within Georgia, but then start to expand. And I think you probably recently saw that Rivian's opening up their, you know, their Rivians to other organizations. So it'll be interesting to see how that starts to, we start to see more of that throughout the other parts of the country.
The early work that Cox was doing with helping electric cars be, you know, as they come off lease or in the secondary market, there were things that you all were having to do that I'd never thought about, like recalibrating the LIDAR and other things. And I guess in order for the cars to really function properly, this is a maybe an area of service that consumers haven't thought a lot about.
Yeah, I think with all the ADAS in vehicles, all that calibration is going to be important. But like specific to EVs, I think one of the things that we're really thinking about in the Manheim auctions is as we start to see more and more used EVs coming through that marketplace, how do we designate the battery health? Because as you know, like the part of the vehicle, like up to 40-45% of the value of the vehicle is that battery. And so knowing the health of that battery is going to be important, the transparency when those are being bought and sold. And really to maintain the residual value of those EVs is going to be important to know battery health. So that's one thing that we're looking at, and how do we create more transparency around that.
I think about 6 years ago, Cox Automotive called me and just wanted my opinion. I'm sure they sought the opinion of a lot of folks that had been involved with EVs, just about how important are these batteries? How can we charge them at our auction? How can we have our condition reports reflect the actual life of the battery? But and you know, having you know, our family was in the auction business and I was in the car business, and I understand the importance of a consumer having confidence in what they're buying. And so for your dealers, they're your customers, for them to know that this car actually has a battery that's at 87%, or you know, and y'all being able to translate that to a letter grade like you do on some of your other things, I know it's been a challenge.
Yeah, it's been a challenge, and I think that's going to be a priority for us. One of the things that we've been watching, though, is the California Air Resource Board regulation, the Advanced Clean Car 2 regulation, that is going to require OEMs to put the battery state of health on the dashboard. So in 2026 models and beyond, that's going to create a new, like that's going to create transparency. And so there's going to be standardization. I think it's for those vehicles, EVs built prior to them, that we're going to really have to make sure that we have a way of showing the battery health. But going forward in 2026, I think we're going to have a lot of transparency because of that regulation. And I think also from the battery health, we talked about dealers. I think even knowing when they get trade-ins, right, it's going to be important for them to know how much to pay for a trade-in or give the value for a trade-in if it's an EV. So understanding the battery health is going to be important from that perspective as well.
I had a chance to go speak at the Georgia Auto Dealers Convention at Punta Vedra this year, and I had a number of dealers, you know, talk to me both before and after my talk because they're used car managers were having a difficult time knowing what value to assess to a trade-in because some of them weren't that familiar with EVs. And so they were, I'll just use the term, lowballing the trade-in. And sometimes if you don't assess the right value on the trade, well, you may not make the deal with the customer because the net difference maybe is too high for the customer. So having these dealers, to your point, not only have the confidence that what they buy at the wholesale auction is accurate, which it is with you guys, but it's at my local dealer, you know, when I take my car to trade in, are they going to give me the value that I need in order to, you know, to be able to upgrade to that next car?
Right. That's going to be so critical. And just to talk more about dealers, if you think about this electrification, they are so critical to this adoption, right? And so helping dealers get ready, like whether it's the salespeople or the service people, to be able to sell these vehicles. So from a consumer, being able, when they come in, being able to tell them the TCO, how does that EV compare to an ICE counterpart? How do you take care of the battery so that you can maintain it and optimize the first life of that battery? So I think some of those things that we're really helping to prepare for our, like, to teach or help guide our dealership customers, how do you do that? How do you prepare to sell these EVs is going to be important, along with that battery health component as well.
If you're just joining us, Stephanie and I are talking about this trip. We're in California, leaving Manhattan Beach. What was your favorite part of the trip coming out here?
You know, my favorite part is actually all these amazing people that I'm sitting in this shuttle with right now. I mean, so many people, so I think passionate about EVs, electrification. I think that's been my favorite part. I'm really excited today about going down to Kia. I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, thanks for being on Energy Matters for the first time.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I appreciate it.
Hey, stick around. Casey Boyce and I will talk about the entire conference in this next segment right from the pier in Manhattan Beach. It's Tim Eccles. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Eccles and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.
Tim Eccles, host of Energy Matters, here with Jeff Pratt of Green Power EMC. Jeff, more and more EMCs are offering solar to their members, and you're seeing it grow like crazy across rural Georgia.
Tim, you're right. Co-ops in Georgia are doing a great job of deploying solar across the state. In fact, they're leaders in the country with respect to engaging customers and deploying large-scale solar to benefit all their members.
Hey, contact your EMC and ask them about their solar energy policy, or just Google Green Power EMC.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and Trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Marlin Gas Services, a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, is your leader in mobile pipeline solutions for hold, peak, and backup services to meet utilities' demand schedules, and their experts in CNG and RNG transportation and logistics solutions. No pipeline, no problem. Marlin Gas Services can provide uninterrupted natural gas service for short or long-term projects, no matter the location. Learn more about how we can support your mobile natural gas needs at marlingas.com/energymatters. That's marlingas.com/energymatters.
Mr. Eccles, this is Christine Turner. I wanted to tell you personally how much I appreciate you help getting our power back on in Locust Grove. We got it back on as soon as you sent the email to the president. It came back on about 10:30 Saturday night, but I didn't get home till 10:30. Staying with my friends, Diane and Johnny Dodd. I think you're friends with your mom and dad that gave you your phone number. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that.
Hey, Tim Eccles back with Casey Boyce. Casey, we're in Manhattan Beach, early in the morning. We're walking out on the pier just before our hippie segment coming up in segment four. Let's just stop here, Casey, and just take all of this in, this beautiful California sand, folks out here running, volleyball. There's a surfer. You know he's got to be cold. How cool is it to be out here on the West Coast?
Well, it's beautiful out here, and I think this is the payoff that we get for the early start that you scheduled for this Come See the Future trip that we've been out here on.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever had a conference where the first session started at 6:30 in the morning.
No, I haven't either, but, you know, it's been great. We are on our second day of the conference, and yesterday was jam-packed. We saw a lot of infrastructure in the Los Angeles area. What's been really neat is the group that we've had from Georgia here, you know, 30-some people, really have been impressed by the size and scale of what Southern California has done around electric vehicles, which really is impressive. And I think that energy is going to come back to Georgia and help us build better.
Casey, as we look out north here, we're in Manhattan Beach. They call this, I think, the South Bay area. There's a gas plant right up there. We're taking a look at it. And then further around the corner, just, I guess, going up towards Santa Monica. But California, they use an unbelievable amount of energy. And we got a report yesterday that their usage, like Georgia, is going to be climbing.
Yeah. And what was interesting was we heard from Michael Picker, who is a former chair of the California Public Utilities Commission, that one of the things that California did in the 70s is really put a focus on energy efficiency. So a lot of the growth in California's energy use has come from increased population, not from increased usage. So their per capita energy usage has stayed pretty constant since the 70s. All of the increase has been from people coming to California, and that's different to a lot of the rest of the U.S.
And their electric vehicle inventory offerings, they're continuing to grow. I rode in a hydrogen Toyota Mirai yesterday. We're hearing, you know, that there's fueling issues out here with the hydrogen. I don't think it's prime time yet, but certainly EVs are prime time here in California.
They are. They're everywhere. And in fact, we've got two electric buses that we're running around in for this conference, which is really neat to have that as part of the trip here. And again, the infrastructure is scaled to support, and they probably need more. But that's driving a lot of that increased demand. We also heard yesterday from someone from Southern California Edison, which serves a lot of the Southern California area, that they're expecting a lot of demand to come from electric vehicles and electrification of homes. But one of the benefits to the people out here, they've got really high rates, is that by electrifying the home and getting EVs, they're expecting people's total energy costs, so electricity, natural gas, gasoline, to actually decline by about 40%.
And that sounds a lot like what Germany says. Even though the rates maybe are three times more, they don't have air condition, they're really good with efficiency, and so the overall, quote, energy burden or financial impact on the people is less.
Yeah, and that really matters, right? I mean, in the utility space, everyone likes to talk about rates, I think, including the commissioners, right? But at the end of the day, it's what, you know, what is the size of the check that you've got to write? That's what people care about.
Here we are at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, and there's two groups playing beach volleyball here. If we look off further, we can see another plant, you know, down south. We're on the south side of the pier now. And if we could look further, we would see that nuclear power plant running down there.
Yeah, which I think California has rescued. So in the sense that they were going to close it, but they needed more energy. And so there was a request to keep it running. And so I believe, and you may know more, but that they are going to keep that nuclear plant, Diablo Canyon, running to supply the needs of Southern California.
Yeah, at least for 5 years. I think that's what they've agreed to. But you're pretty big on keeping existing nuclear plants going.
I am. I mean, the infrastructure has been built. Nuclear is really expensive, as we know in Georgia. And it doesn't make any sense to shut them down before the end of their life because it is carbon-free electricity. And what we've seen in markets where they have shut down nuclear plants before the end of their life, really because of economics, is that gas plants have picked up the generation needs. And so we've gone from carbon-free to something that emits carbon. So it pushes us in the wrong direction. Again, it's economics in those markets that's doing it. But from a climate standpoint, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, this segment, we're kind of wrapping up the trip that we've been on. Just, you know, kind of reviewing the highlights. I mean, for me, going to that ABM parking garage at LAX and seeing how they have the three levels of service, the valet level of service and the premium level, and then just the reserve your charger, and how that's avoiding Carmageddon, what they call Carmageddon, with people, tens of thousands of cars searching for parking places. They've moved to this reserve level. I think that was the highlight for me as we think about where Atlanta is going, the new seven-story parking deck in the south. I really hope our city has come out here and looked at it. What was maybe a highlight or two for you of the trip?
Well, I'd echo that ABM parking garage. You know, the amount of infrastructure today that's needed at the Atlanta airport far exceeds what's there. So I really hope that the new south parking deck that we can build in quite a bit of EV charging, because the demand is there. And, you know, when you're building something new, it's a whole lot easier to put that infrastructure infrastructure in it in than it is to retrofit it down the road. I think the other thing is what I said before, just, you know, the people on this trip and how their eyes are very much opening to the scale of EV infrastructure that has been installed here in California. You know, California, about a quarter of new vehicles sold are electric compared to about 6-7% in Georgia. So they're quite a bit further ahead in terms of the number of people who are buying EVs, and they need that infrastructure. So it's nice to be able to see where we're going and really spark some imaginations around that.
You know, you mentioned just the folks that we have on the trip. I think about the EMCs represented, Georgia Power's here, Metro Atlanta Chamber. We've got a number of very geeky people who have not invented, but their companies are marketing, you know, managed charging system. You were just having a conversation with one on the bus coming over here that's at the Synergy facility there at 75 Fifth Street at Tech Square. But it seems like there's so much technology emerging with managed charging and getting the data. That's if there's anything I've heard out here, it's we want this data and we want to be able to deliver to customers what they need.
Yeah, and I think that really is going to be the key for making sure we can do this EV transition, you know, seamlessly and in a way that doesn't add a lot of cost. So, I'm not an electrical engineer, but, you know, I look at it and say, okay, the capacity factor, which is essentially the amount of use that the grid gets versus what it can produce nationally, is about 50%, which means we can double the electricity use without any new infrastructure. But what matters is where and when that use happens, because there are some areas that are running near capacity. So adding a couple of EVs could push them over. And so being able to understand the charging behaviors, when that's charging, where that's charging, and incentivize that right place where and when is going to be critical to, you know, basically being more efficient in using the grid.
I do love coming to California. And, you know, I kind of mock them on our show and some of the things that they do. But, you know, just like everyone else, they're trying to figure it out, right? They have a unique demographic here. They have people that have certain political persuasions, and these officials out here are trying to do things in order to satisfy the constituents that they have. And yeah, it looks a little bit different from us, but you know, I look at the beauty of these beaches out here, and just the mountains, and being able to turn around and look at the mountains from the beach. There's just, if you've never been to California and come down, you know, to these beaches, it's just some of the most beautiful places in America.
Yeah, it's really amazing out here. California is a great state to visit. Not sure I'd want to live here, Tim, but it's definitely a nice place to visit, and this is a great way to start day two of our conference.
We're heading down to Kia today, and we're going to be driving the new EV9. Kia told us last time we were here, Casey, when we set up this trip, that there's more Kias per capita in Georgia than any other state, which led them to build a Hyundai plant. There is kind of a relationship, you know, with people supporting their hometown brand, and I'm anxious to get to drive this new, basically, Telluride electric vehicle.
I'm really excited to see it as well. And, you know, Tim, fun fact, I was looking yesterday at a list of fastest charging EVs, and of the top 10, something like half of them are Kias or Hyundais or Genesis. So not only are they the hometown brand, but if you're looking for an EV, they really are a great choice.
Of course, it's one of the largest economic development projects that we've ever had in the state of Georgia. Well, Casey, just in our final minute here, as you think about your takeaway and what you're going back with after you and I kind of dreamed of this trip and came out here, scouted it, and now I have brought all these people out here. I'm hoping that I have given them a greater vision for the future. How about you?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think what's really exciting is that the devil, of course, is in the details, right? So we're seeing kind of the big picture and where we need to go. But all of these people with the things that they're doing in their day-to-day and, you know, the experiences, the talents, all of that they have, they're going to be able to really dig into the detail and figure out how do we get there successfully.
Well, coming up, a special hippie segment with California music. Stick around, and we'll try to figure out how these songs relate to energy policy, both in California and in Georgia. This is Tim Echols. You're listening to Energy Matters.
As the Southeast's leading non-utility power provider, Cherry Street Energy energizes businesses like Porsche and Gulfstream in cities like Macon and Atlanta with predictably priced, emission-free electricity. We build, own, and operate solar power plants for our partners, allowing them to deliver on sustainability promises with no complexities, upfront costs, or ongoing maintenance. All they get is a power bill. Simple as sunshine. To learn more, contact us at info@cherrystreetenergy.com.
Tim Eccles of Energy Matters here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over the state. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. Gerd and all the folks at Solar Sun World understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work for you. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll advise you on the best path forward. And Solar Sun World now offers power purchase agreements. Find them at solarsunworld.com. Solarsunworld.com.
Hello, Commissioner. I feel like it's very important that I occasionally let you know that I really appreciate the job that you do and your commitment to solar energy and electric vehicles. It really makes me happy, the idea of our wonderful state having more and more solar. Just, it really excites me. I really love the job you're doing. Anyway, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, Tim Eccles back for the Promised California Hippie segment. My co-host, Casey Boyce. Casey, I've been waiting on this moment.
It has been a long time coming, and I'm feeling a little bit of whiplash. We were in California the previous segment, in studio here in Georgia this segment, but we'll kind of bring everyone back to California.
Yeah, and John Crawford joining us for the first time in the Hippie segment. John, are you a 70s music connoisseur?
Yeah. I am. 70s, 80s.
Okay. You know. Yeah, and Dr. Gaddy, I graduated Georgia 82. Well, when did you graduate undergrad?
83, which was in the same year, but I called it.
So we're listening to the same music. You're a 70s guy?
I am. Yeah.
Okay, 70s, okay. 70s. All right, so we got three California songs to wrap up our California show. Casey, let's start with our first song. Here we go.
Well, East Coast girls are hit by really those styles they wear, and the Southern girls with the way they talk, they knock me out when I'm down there. The Midwest farmer's daughters really make you feel alright, and the Northern girls with the way they kiss, they keep their boyfriends warm at night. I wish they
Casey, this may not be the most politically correct song that I've ever heard. But we got a studio full of males here. But Casey, maybe
tread carefully, right?
Okay, maybe that what we really mean by girls here, it's referencing maybe different types of energy.
Well, that would be appropriate for the show, right?
Yeah, that is exactly right. But I don't know if you saw the documentary on the author of this song and the founder of the Beach Boys, who had struggled with mental illness, and you can watch it on a Delta flight. The Beach Boys documentary's on there. But Casey, I know this is a stretch, but we did promise a California song. When you think about this song and all that we learned in California, what comes to your mind?
Well, I mean, I think the premise of the song, if we replace girls with energy, wishing that it could all be California energy. I mean, we've talked about it on the show before that there's a reason California has the energy system that it does. There's a reason Georgia has the energy system it does. There's a reason the Midwest has. So I'm good with the Northern girls and the Southern girls and the California girls. They've all got their place.
Yeah, I say all the time that geography matters. Right, Dr. Gaddy, geography matters when it comes to energy. We don't have the huge hydro here like they do on the West Coast. We don't have the oil and gas like they do in Texas. So sometimes you're captive, to the type of energy. Well, when you think of this Beach Boys song regarding, if you had to stretch it to energy, what are you thinking?
So I'm thinking the same thing I would with regard to my wife. There's only one girl I wish it was, and that's Zoe Gaddy. But if it's going to be energy wise, I would wish it was all could be nuclear reactors.
Yeah, we'll see if he can change the lyrics. John Crawford, what do you think when you hear this song regarding energy policy?
Oh, I'm going to go a totally different direction and say that I think it would hopefully will encourage a conversation about how do we encourage more women in STEM and maybe recognize our providers like Georgia Power and our state's EMCs and commend them for all the efforts that they are taking to promote more women entering the energy industry and the STEM field. How's that?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Shout out to Grace Stanky, the Miss America University of Wisconsin engineering grad who's traveling the country speaking about that now. All right, let's go to our second song. Here we go.
Bound 747. Didn't think before deciding what to do. All that talk of opportunities, TV breaks and movies rang true. Seems it never rains in Southern California.
Well, Casey, it rained on us in Southern California. Fortunately, it was only one day and it didn't impact us that much. What do you think on this song when it comes to energy policy, reflecting on our California trip?
Well, I think two things. One is that Southern California is a great climate for solar because there's a lot of sun and it doesn't rain all that often. But two is something that a lot of people don't think about when they think about solar, which is that you actually have to clean and maintain the panels. That's true of any of the utility scale solar that you might see in South Georgia. It's true of panels that you might put up on your house. And rain is actually one of the ways that, you know, washes the dust off of the solar panels. So if you've got solar panels, make sure you maintain them to keep them efficient. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I had a chance to go to SoFi Stadium, at the end of our trip, mm-hmm. and it has a clear roof on it, glass, plexiglass, whatever it was, but the sides are open. So the wind was blowing through that stadium. I mean, it was just an incredible, natural climate control system. I was so impressed. You know, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium has the little aperture, but this, to me, was superior because you got that natural breeze coming through. Dr. Gaddy, as you think about this song and energy policy, what comes to your mind?
First thing, Tim, since we're talking about a kind of a sporadic event like rain in Southern California, the first thing that comes to my mind is reliability for their power grid in Southern California. Sporadic, not always there when you need it, and again reflects some energy policy that has had not the outcomes that they were hoping.
You know, Dr. Gaddy, I had someone tell me the other day that worked for a wind company that there's now wind monitors that they put out ahead of the turbines about 100 miles to predict when the wind is coming. So the monitors tell, okay, the wind's going to be here in X amount of time. So they've gone to that trouble to be able to try to forecast it.
Yeah, and they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to do that further than just a few miles. They're going to have to do this out also hours and days ahead of time as well. It's one of the things I think that solar probably provides that wind doesn't. So those types of weather predictions, Tim, they lend themselves to unpredictability. And oftentimes if you go out into the Midwest, particularly up in the Dakotas, curtailment, when that wind is really, really high and the demand is really low, you got some problems when load and demand don't match up.
You need to make some hydrogen with that.
If you can, that's right.
John Crawford, what does this song remind you of regarding policy?
I think what it reminds me of living in South Georgia is, and as we grapple with the issue of the expansion of the solar farms on the agricultural lands, I don't know if it's energy policy or if it's just good state policy, but we need to be very mindful. I'm very pro-solar, but I'm also a proponent of being very mindful that we mitigate erosion and runoff and some of the issues that we're beginning to see in South Georgia because of the proliferation of solar farms.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm getting more and more folks asking me about that. Okay, one more song in the hippie segment with our California music.
On a dark desert highway, cool wind in my hair, warm smell of colitas rising up through the air. Up ahead in the distance, I saw a shimmering light. My head grew heavy and my sight grew dim. I had to stop for the night. There she stood in the doorway.
Well, Casey, that song's a wee bit creepy if you hear the whole thing. But, I mean, you were getting into this song. I think you like this one.
I do. It's a great song. Classic.
Yeah. You know what this reminds me of, Casey, is hotels that allow you to put the room card into a reader, and then it turns on the lights and all the AC, and it won't let you run any power until you turn it in, and then you pull that out when you leave, and it is kind of energy efficiency for dummies.
That is a very optimistic read on that song, Tim. I like it. Because I was reflecting as we were listening to it on the nature of electric utility monopolies and the fact that you can check out from wanting to be their customer, but you can never leave.
Oh, whoa, Casey, Dr. Gaddy, whoa.
So I went in the same direction, but actually I was thinking of those states like California who went from vertically integrated regulated monopolies to deregulated. They now can check out any time they like, but they can't leave. They're locked in.
Wow, this is so good. Finish this up, John.
To sort of piggyback on Dr. Gaddy, I was thinking about the number of people from states like California and others that have an unreliable power grid, and the hotel rooms they might occupy in states like Georgia and states that have more reliable sources of power as they look for places to relocate their homes and their businesses to a more stable energy supply.
Wow. Wow, we did really good on that song. Well, thanks for listening to Energy Matters today. We appreciate you checking us out. Go to any place you get your podcast. Search for Energy Matters with Commissioner Eccles. Thanks a lot for listening, and have a great weekend, everyone.
Energy Matters would like to thank Gas South for its support of the show. Gas South has a no-deposit policy and offers some of the lowest per-therm rates in the state. Use the promo code MATTERS for a special deal. Gas South, the difference is good. Logan Booker here, producer of Energy Matters, and I want to tell you about the Advanced Power Alliance. For more than 20 years now, the Advanced Power Alliance has been leading the energy transition in America's traditional energy states. They advocate for wind energy, solar power, and energy storage, all while partnering with traditional resources to ensure that America has abundant, affordable, cleaner energy to power our homes, our lives, as well as our economy. With the growth of solar and advanced storage and power generation technologies, every state now has the opportunity to be a leading energy state. Advanced Power Alliance is proud to partner with the Georgia Large Scale Solar Association and work with the Public Service Commission, Georgia Power, and their customers as Georgia continues to be one of America's leading renewable energy states. You can learn more about the Advanced Power Alliance at poweralliance.org. That's poweralliance.org.
Having a family member or close friend in crisis is something we have all experienced. North Point Christian Counseling can help. Whether it's marriage counseling or a loved one struggling with abuse or addiction, North Point Christian Counseling has counselors in Macon, Athens, Kennesaw, and Albany to help bring healing and recovery. To find out more, call 478-973-9358 or find them online at northpointcounseling.org. That's 478-973-9358 or northpointcounseling.org.